Well, I want you to turn your Bibles to two verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54. 1 Corinthians 15, 54, and 2 Corinthians 2, 14. We're going to go from one right to the other, and I want a couple things in there I want to show you. But 1 Corinthians 15, 54. Let's read that first. He says, "So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's say that last one together. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is important because he talks here about death as being swallowed up in victory. Now, we think sometimes, well, yeah, death eventually will be swallowed up, but we forget about in victory. We understand that one day death will no longer be, but it's in victory. Death is going to be swallowed up, consumed, overridden by victory. Amen? So the things that we fear, God says, I'm going to replace that with victory. I'm going to overcome those things with victory. Amen? He says, death, where is your sting? You know, when you know that it's going to wind up in victory, where is the sting of death? He said, well, the sting of death is sin. That's the sting. That's the part that hurts is that sting of death, because it's a sin. It's not pleasing God. It's being out of rhythm. It's being just not in your right place. That's the sting of death. But then he says, finally, oh, Hades, where is your victory? See, even if we experience the sting doesn't have to kill you, because he says death is going to be swallowed up in victory. Say it with me again. Thanks be to God who gives me the victory in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Gives us the victory. We need to understand this, and because this is such an important part. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Let's say it again, because I want to get that on the inside of you today. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is so important to understand. It's because we look at this world and we think, wow, it's so powerful. There's so much going on. But it's going to be swallowed up. It's going to disappear, and it's going to disappear in victory. Amen? Now go to 2 Corinthians 2:14. Very similar verse. He says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Boy, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That sounds like we shouldn't be crying, huh? That sounds like we shouldn't be bemoaning. Why? Because we know that God is always leading us to triumph. Whatever situation we're in, if we're following Christ, Christ is leading us to triumph. Blessed be the name of God, because he always gives us the victory in Jesus Christ. See, these are things about that we need to understand about our Christian life. Now, we understand generally that we need to be thankful, don't we? We need to we understand that generally we need to give God thanks for what we have, but this is talking about before you have the victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who gives us? We don't have it yet, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory. See, he's thanking God, praising God already for the victory that God has laid before him, because right now it looks like death is overcoming everything. It looks like death is the end of our life. It looks like death and destruction has come. But he says, no. He says, thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Gives it to us. Well, Paul went through some rough things, didn't he? He went through some tough situations, but he learned the secret. He learned how to give praise unto God, to give thanks, because he knew God will lead me to victory. You know, I like the part where Paul says, he says, I don't care if I live or die. He said, I'd rather die, but for your sake, I'll stay a while longer. You know, he said, I'd rather die. If they chop off my head, that would please me, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if I die, I'm going to be present with the Lord. And we all fear this death, but he said, no, you got it wrong. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Even when it looks really bad, thanks be to God who leads us in victory, leads us in those things through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. See, he has a hope. He has a future that he's looking at. He always leads us in triumph. Now, that verse would be a lot different if it would read, now thanks be unto God who occasionally leads some of us to a little bit of a triumph now and then so our life isn't so bad. Would you get up and go, yeah, amen, man. He says always leads us in triumph. Always leads us. Well, if God is always leading us to triumph, then that says something to me. I need to follow him. Because if I follow him and he's on the way to triumph, I'm going to get it with him. The only way I can miss triumph is if I don't follow Jesus. The only way I can miss the victory is if I don't follow his leading. Amen? So I need to follow after him. I need to trust him that he'll lead me to victory. He'll lead me into triumph in all these things. Amen? And then he says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, he says, he and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. You ought to have the smell of victory about you. What kind of an odor do you have? What do you smell like in the world? Well, you know, somebody asks you, well, how are you doing today? Well, you know, I've had better days. I'm trying, you know, or give the real Christian answer. Well, brother, I'm just trusting the Lord. You know, God's going to get me through it. Hallelujah. One of these days, brother, on the other side. You know, we come with all these platitudes, don't we? So, well, praise be unto him, for he gives us the victory in Jesus Christ. He always leads me into triumph. That has a little bit different fragrance, doesn't it? A little bit different odor. But, you know, your countenance carries an odor with it. I like this. You know, some of the religions talk about the aura that's around you. And you do. You have an aura. Now, this aura was so strong on Jesus one time that they saw the glory of the Lord upon him. It was so strong on some of the apostles from time to time that they saw the glory on him. John saw this when the Christ appeared to him in the book of Revelation. He said, man, he was fire from the loins up and from the loins down. What was he seeing? We would call it in the world the aura of the Lord. You know, around the ancient paintings that they have of the disciples and the apostles, they have this halo about them. Well, what does that signify? The aura. The aura. It was the glow. It's like they just beamed. Jerry Savelle years ago, and I love it when he tells the story, he said he was out shopping in the market, and there was this lady that finally came up to him and said, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? I'll be healed if you pray for me. He goes, lady, I'm shopping. You know, I'm in the grocery. Why are you asking me? She says, ever since I've been in here, I've been watching a flame above the aisles. And she said, I've been trying to reach the flame. It's on you. What is that? The aura, the glory of God. Years ago, some of you will remember this. Years ago, someone from Kaiser House called the fire department because they saw flames coming out of the roof of our church. The fire trucks were all scattered. They were on Piedmont Street and Main Street. The fire trucks were here. The firemen were all, and they're, where's the fire? Where's the fire? And they're all looking around. There's no smoke or anything. And someone said, well, I saw fire coming out of that church. I saw flames on the roof. And it was so real, they called the fire department. It's the glory of God. Now, we ought to walk in that all the time. Amen? That ought to be the normal for us to have that aura and have it so strong that other people can see it. You know, they say about leaders, you know when a real leader walks in the room because he just doesn't do a thing, but people just, their attention just turns to him. And all of a sudden, this discussion over here, they say, hey, you know, we've been talking about, what do you think? You know, they want you to get involved in the conversation because they're looking to you, and there's that natural countenance. There's that natural leadership quality. There's that natural ability that people look to you instinctively to resolve issues. Well, that's leadership. You can cultivate it, but a lot of it is just a God-given aura of who you are. Because thanks be to God, who always leads us in victory, through our Lord Jesus Christ. But there's this life that God has for us, this fragrance that ought to surround us. And yet, so many Christians, they come in and there's no thanksgiving in their life. It's just sad. It's just they're down in the mouth. You know, they're hoping to get through. We're just struggling, brother, like everybody else. And it gets real embarrassing sometimes to say that you're doing good when everybody else is so bad. That's what I like about Haiti. You know, and I've told you this before, but in Haiti, the normal greeting when they say, "How are you?" "Papi mal," which in Creole means, I'm not so bad. Because in Haiti, the tradition, the culture is you don't say that you're good, because if you say you're good, then you're bragging that your life is going better than everybody else around you. He said, "Oh, isn't that sad?" I like Pastor Privakas. He's taught his people, if they ask you how you are, you say, "I'm blessed of God." I'm blessed of God. You know, he teaches them. He says, don't fall into that pattern of where you're just like everybody else, where you're just trying to fit in. No, I'm blessed of God. Do you know how much it would change your relations with people when they ask you how you are and you just, "I'm blessed of God"? And they'd start looking at you like, "Okay, what tree did you fall out of this morning?" Because that's not the normal way of looking at things. It's not normal for Christians, but it ought to be. This ought to be normal for us. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to be a regular countenance, a regular part of our lives. We're always giving thanks for the victory that God has given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. They must have seen the fire again. Hallelujah. Coming back. Okay, we got Coco downstairs. We'll take care of you. But it's just really amazing how Christians, we just want to fit in with the world. And as you fit in with the world, you become like the world when we're supposed to be conformed to the image of Christ. And we just say things to get by and things to be accepted. And we just kind of let things go and when we do that, we lose our fragrance. We lose that ability to affect the people around us because we're so busy trying to fit in and they're looking for something different. They're looking for a witness. And you're trying to be like them instead of giving a witness. Well, let me ask you this question. Can you increase your capacity to receive from God? Can you increase your capacity to receive from God? Now there's a couple of things that go along with this. Because one, you've got to be able to receive. Now, I've had people, and I've had this distortion in my life. And I've got to admit, I'm still overcoming it. But this distortion, when somebody gives you something that you just say thank you for it. Because the reality is that people can try to give you things and God can give you things and we try to humble our way out of it. "Oh, this is too nice. You shouldn't have done this." You know, and the person wanted to do it. Maybe God moved on the person to do it. We had a pastor's wife, well, she was a pastor herself, but came to the church years ago, and she says, she talked to me, Debbie and I were the only ones in the church at the time, and she came to me, she says, "God has really put you on my heart, and he's told me to come to you and ask if there's anything that you need. And if there is, I'm to help you with that." And I said, "No, everything's okay." She says, "Are you sure?" "Yeah, everything's okay." Are you really, really sure?" Well, we hadn't been paid for quite a long time. Different things that were going on. And it's like my pride wouldn't allow me to be humble. And so she left confused. Because God told her to come. And I'm saying everything's okay. Afterwards, Debbie got on me. She says, "You know, you kept that woman from blessing you and getting a blessing back." And so I never looked at it that way. I've had other people offer me things, and because I've been taught and raised, well, you don't accept gifts. So, I mean, from family, yeah, you know, but not from other people. It's hard. It's hard because we've developed a culture where it's hard to receive when people just want to give us something. And they just want to bless us. It's hard to receive. But if you're going to increase your capacity to receive from God, you've got to change how you are able to receive. To say thank you. To just sometimes just don't say anything, but just say Thank you for this. Thank you for being obedient to God. Thank you for for thinking about me. Thank you for these things. Because you can only enjoy what you're able to receive. If you're not able to receive it, you can't enjoy it. You don't get any blessing out of it if you don't receive it. And yet, you know, we love to give to our children because they the look on their face when we give them something that they've really wanted. When they get something that they didn't expect, but it really met the desires of their heart, we get through. And we love to give to them because it is so much fun watching them receive. Have you ever thought about what God looks at when he tries to give us things and we say no? When we can't say thank you? How many blessings have you lost in your life because you couldn't just say thank you, Lord? I haven't done enough to earn this yet, so maybe later. But receiving has nothing to do with earning it. It's just being able to receive from God. You know, you can't receive more until something begins to change in you. The question is, do we all have the same capacity to receive from God? Well, we all have the same potential, but there are limiting factors that choke the Word of God in our life. And I could go to Scripture, and I could bring a lot of those out. But instead of going that direction, I want you to go to Psalm 78. Go to Psalm 78. I want to look at some of these things in a little bit different light. Psalm 78. And we're going to look at verse 40. Psalm 78, verse 40, it says about Israel, he says, how often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God, listen, and limited the Holy One of Israel. Israel limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, this is an awesome thing. Excuse me. Almost had a sneeze. Now, when Israel, God brought them out of Egypt, and we know that story, and this is where this is, but did they receive all that God had for them? And the obvious answer is no, they didn't, because he was taking them to a promised land, but that first generation all died in the wilderness because they failed to receive what God was offering to them. It was a free gift. And God wanted to take them into the promised land. He wanted to take them into what he had prepared for them. But it says they provoked him in the wilderness. They grieved him in the desert. Now, the problem wasn't God, was it? God wasn't the issue. The problem was their ability to receive from God. And it's interesting here that they provoked God, they grieved him, but grief is not anger. You know, we think, well, God was really angry with him. No, he wasn't angry, he was grieved. He was grieved with them. Why won't you receive this? Why won't you let me bless you? Why won't you follow me and come into this land that I've prepared for you? Why won't you do this? There's a grieving in it. He wasn't angry, he wasn't upset with them, he was grieved over them. Because he wants to give them a gift and they refuse to enter into it. They refuse to say thank you. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited God by their lack of faith and their lack of vision. They didn't trust God that he was able to do it. And they didn't trust the vision that God had set into. Oh, I know you brought us out of Egypt. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Can you bring us into the promised land? Well, you know, after you brought us out, after you're born again, you just have to try the best you can. That's how it is. You just do the best. Well, let me ask you a question. Does God have more for you? Will you receive it? Will you stop fighting against it? Will you start saying yes? Oh, but you don't know, Gordon, my situation, it won't allow me to do this. When we, Debbie and I got married, I worked 3 years2 years on the board, 1 year as a construction engineer on a federal building. And on the time of the federal building, he called me into the ministry. And when I enrolled in seminary, when the day that school started, I had already resigned my job that would have continued for at least another year as a construction engineer. I just gave it up. Because I'm going to school. Understand? I'm going to school. I don't have time to work and go to school. I'm going to school. It's full time. So I went to school. But there's a lot of people I know. Oh, I'm called to the ministry. Are you willing to go to school? Well, I've got to get my kids out of high school. I got to get this. There's all kinds of excuses that they use to not do what God has called them to do. And yet if you ask them, has God called you? Oh, yes, 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 yes. You know, we've had people say, I believe God's called me to the children's ministry. Hallelujah. We need workers with the children's ministry. Hallelujah. We've had people say, I believe I'm called to the youth ministry. I'm called to start up a youth program at Living Faith. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, God. This is the answer to our prayer. God, we've been praying over this. But I can't make it to church every Sunday. Okay. I can't make it to leadership meetings. I'm not sure if I'm going to be real regular or not. What's the problem? They're not committed. They've got the calling, but they're not committed to the call. Jesus said, you got to count the price. There's a price to be paid. You still want the blessing of God? Still want to walk into his calling? There's a price. There's a price to walk into it. There's a price to increase your capacity of faith. There's a price that has got to be paid, but it's not the things that you think it is. It's the price of being obedient. It's the price of just following God, of laying things down and just saying, okay, God, I'm going to follow you. Because as you follow God, he always leads us into triumph. He always leads us into victory, but you don't get the victory or the triumph if you don't go. Thanks be unto God who always, always, always leads us into triumph. Hallelujah. See, God has more revelation, more anointing, more life, more strength, more opportunities, more fruit for you to walk in. But the problem is you've got to receive it in order to walk into it. See, listen, I like this statement. God's will is already revealed and we should not doubt his power to give. Oh, power to give. Yeah, power to give. See, this is a question. This is a debate we have in our mind. I know that God is willing. I know that he's able, but will he? That's always the question. Will he? If I do this, will he do that? Thanks be unto God who always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. There's a connection here of thanks into being led into the victory or into the triumph that God has for you. There's a thanksgiving for it, and you can't walk in the thanksgiving if you're doubting, if you're questioning, if you're always stumbling over, how do I get there? You're not walking in thanksgiving, and I'm already ahead of myself. See, thanksgiving connects us with the victory. When Israel came out of the wilderness, were they being humble to God by refusing to go into the promised land? And yet we think that, well, I'm being humble to not receive something that God's trying to give me. You're not being humble, you're being prideful. Well, it's not pride. What else is it? Is it pride when it says, God, I don't want you to give me this because I have not worked hard enough yet to deserve it? Is that pride? What about grace? I mean, just God just giving you something. Can you say thank you? Well, I've got to work for it. You know, Gordon talked about that price that's got to be paid. I said the price isn't what you think it is. The price is willing to be thankful for it before you see it come to pass. And I tell you, that's a big price, because there's a lot of people that aren't grateful. There's a lot of people that are not thankful. There's a lot of believers that, well, when I die, I'm going to heaven. I guess I should praise God for it. Yeah, you ought to praise God for it, because the other place is hell. You know, I mean, you got two choices here. You don't have 17 floors, you know. So, well, if I don't get the penthouse, you know, that's okay. I'll settle for floor number 9. I'll settle for 17. I'll settle for, no. There are not two floors. There are not 49 floors in heaven. There's not all this stuff. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. One is real nice. The other is not so pleasant. says it burns forever. Torment. Why? You know what the torment is? And some of us already suffer this torment. If only I had listened. If only I had paid attention. Can you imagine spending eternity if I'd only listened to that preacher? If I'd only listened to mom? If I'd only listened to dad? If only I had taken advantage of that opportunity. If only. See, that's why it says in heaven there's no sorrow or regret. It's all washed away. But I have to believe that one of the torments of hell, because we always think it's physical, I think it's going to be emotional. I think it's going to be that, Jesus tried to get a hold of me, and I wouldn't let him. I was caught up in my pride. I was caught up in all these other things, but they may not even know what they needed to do. Well, I'm telling you, you needed to be thankful. You need to be grateful to God. See, thanksgiving connects us to our victory. And this is faith, without which you cannot please God or be born again. The Bible even says faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. So walking in faith is walking in thanksgiving. Walking in faith is saying thank you for what I'm believing for before you get it. See, most of us, we're waiting for the manifestation before we say thank you. We're waiting for it all to work out before we give it. Well, you know, I prayed, but, well, you know, I'm just waiting. Well, if you prayed and you ask God for something and you believe God heard you, do you have it? The Bible says you do. Then when do you start being thankful? When you pray. But I don't have it yet. When you pray and you believe God's heard you, be thankful. Begin to thank him for it. But I don't see anything yet. Be thankful for it. But I don't see anything for it. If you go down and decide to buy a new car, and you go down to the shop and you, or the dealership, and you order a new car, and you order it with the kind of color you want, leather seats, air conditioning, electric windows, I mean, it's got everything you want on it. Do you walk out of the store saying, "Well, I hope they get the color right. Well, I sure hope this thing works out." Now, you walk out of there and say, "Man, we're counting down the days because we got that car, buddy. It is on its way." Well, they haven't even built the thing yet. Oh, but it's on its way. It's on its way. It's on its way. But you haven't seen it yet. It's on its way. It's on its way, buddy. That car's coming. And boy, come 3 months from now, we're going to drive that car off the lot, and we're going to be so proud. We're going to be so happy with that car because it's got everything on it we want. You don't wait till you get the car and look at it and kick the tires again. Well, we'll just have to see how this works out, because I'm still not sure. But that's what we do with God, isn't it? We'll praise and be thankful for something in the natural, but we don't have enough faith to thank God for what he's already promised us, what he's already assured. See, the Bible says if you pray and God hears you, you have the things that you pray for when you pray for them. When you pray for them, give thanks when you pray. Amen. Why are you giving thanks if you don't believe God? Or I'm sorry, why are you waiting to give thanks if you're believing God? If you believe that you have these things, why are you waiting? See, thanksgiving puts things into motion to bring you your victory. Thanksgiving is the release of your faith. The Bible says right now God is preparing a table before you. I want to tell you, that table is not empty. That table's got stuff on it. There's three things that we know it's got. We know it's got bread, because the Bible says healing is the children's bread. So we know that table has bread on it, healing. We know it has oil, because there's oil of joy. And we know it has the wine of the Holy Spirit on it. Those are three things we know that's on the table. It's not a bare table. Some of us read, "Oh God, in the presence of my enemies, God is preparing a table before me, and it's all bare. There's not a thing on it. It's just a nice table." No, it's got stuff on it. But I like the Psalm 23 where it says, He sets this table, prepares a table for you to eat of, to receive from the table. Oh, I like this part. I love it. In the presence of your enemies. Now, when you see that table, you're going to say, well, Lord, I can't really thank you for this because, I mean, the enemy's right over here. He might get mad if I thank you for what you've given me on the table. And I don't want to stir him up, Lord. I don't want to make him angry at me. I won't try to keep him on the good side. What's between you and the table? Nothing. The enemy is bound. He's watching you come to the table that God has prepared for you, and you won't eat of it because you're afraid of offending the enemy. Listen, he's going to kill you anyway. He doesn't like you now. Do you think you're going to do something to make him like you in the future? He won't change his opinion. He is set in his ways. He doesn't like you. So if there's a table that God has set before us in the presence of our enemy, let's eat it. Let's receive what God has for us. Amen? Let's begin to thank God. Oh, God, I thank you for the table. I thank you, God, for bread, for oil, for wine. I thank you, God, for these things that you've prepared for me. Hallelujah. See, the problem is we get distracted by the lack and the pain and the confusion and everything else that surrounds us. We get distracted with all of these things. And when we do that, we begin to try to produce results by our own efforts instead of by prayer and by thanksgiving. We try to bring it into manifestation. We try to work it. We try to do things in the natural to bring this about when God has already promised it to us. And we don't get to enjoy it because by the time you get it, you're just so worn out and so exhausted. It's like, well, I got it, but that was an effort. Well, it shouldn't have been an effort. Shouldn't have been an effort. All you have to do when God offers you something is say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. Thank you, Lord, for my life. Thank you, Lord, for my abundance. Thank you, Lord, for my wisdom. Thank you, God, that you give me direction. Thank you, God, you protect me. Thank you, God, that you've made provision. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Go to 1 Samuel 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Jesus had a phrase that he would say every now and then. He would say to different people, go your way. Go your way. And he wasn't saying to them, or just hang around and wait. He was telling them, get on and do what you need to do. Go on your way. Finish it. You know, I've prayed for you. Go on your way. Do what you're supposed to do. And as an example of this, I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. You know, Hannah was Samuel's mother. And Hannah wanted to have a baby. Now, she was the first wife of her husband, but he had two wives. And it's interesting that Hannah really, really wanted a baby. And she kept putting pressure on God to give her a baby because she was barren. But while she's putting pressure on God to have a baby, she kept the thought in her head that she would never actually have a baby. And so she cried day and night. The Bible says this went on for years. And she just cried. She's miserable. Nothing is going right for her. She wants a baby. She doesn't get a baby. And she cries for years and years and years. Now think about it. She's miserable. Think about what the household has got to be like. It's got to be pretty miserable too. I mean, it's not happy time at home. Why? Because she doesn't have a baby. And she's crying and crying and crying. Is this okay? Is this the way things ought to be? So yeah, but she wants a baby. I understand she wants a baby. But go down to verse 5, or 4 and 5. He says, whenever the time came for Elkanah, that's her husband, to make an offering, he would give portions to his first wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And if you go down to verse 8, he said, her husband said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? And look at this. She's got a house. She gets a double portion of honor over the other wife. I mean, her husband loved her. She's got a covenant with God, and she's got all these things, and she's not happy. Because all she can focus on is the one thing that she doesn't have, and that is she doesn't have a baby. Now let me ask you this question. Is there a place between thankful and unthankful? Can you actually be neither? Can you actually be unthankful and not thankful? Can you ever actually be one or the other? See, if you are not thankful, you are unthankful. Is it okay to be unthankful? Now, as Christians, we all say, well, no, that's not right to be unthankful. But yet, many of us are. We're blessed. We've got a good thing going for us. Life is okay compared to a lot of other people, and yet we're not grateful. We're not thankful to God for what He's given to us. Now, Hannah, like I say, has all of these things going for her, and it means nothing to her because of one thing that she doesn't have. And it went on for years. For years. I forget where that is in there. Oh, verse 7. So it was year by year. It's like, this is a long time. This wasn't overnight. This wasn't just, you know, one time and she didn't conceive. This is going on for a long, long time. Now go to verse 12 in 1 Samuel 1. I'll read first 12 to 18, and I'll go back and break it down. It says, and it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now, she's in the temple praying. Now, Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful heart. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman. For why would Eli consider her a wicked woman? Well, she said, because out of her heart, she spoke sorrowfully. I mean, if you're in a covenant with God, why would you be sorrowful? Getting real. If you have a covenant with God, is there room to be sorrowful? Is there room to, oh, poor me? She said, don't count me as a wicked woman, because I spoke out of a sorrowful heart. Okay, let's keep on reading. And grief I have spoken until now. I'm going to stop there. She's just broken up. She's having a hard time with this. Now, I want you to get the picture. She's in the temple praying, but she's praying out of a sorrowful heart. Oh, God, why is it always me? God, why does nothing ever happen the way I want it to? Lord, why are you fighting me? Why are you upset with me, God? Why are you holding back from me, God? Why? Is that how you ought to talk to God? See, some of you are looking at, what are you going to say now? Is that the way to talk to God? After the church split, it was months after the church split. I'm up here, I'm praying in the sanctuary by myself, and I'm just praying. And I'm just pouring my heart out to God. I was just going through everything that had happened for the 9 months before the split. Just going through everything, every mistake I made, everything I didn't catch, everything that people said, and just going through it and through it and through it and through it and through it. I'd spent about 40 minutes just pouring my heart out to God. Have you ever done it? Just poured your heart out to God, and I got interrupted. Sometimes I don't like it when God interrupts you, but I heard this voice, and He says, are you done yet? And you know what my immediate reply was? No, I got a little bit more to go. And I did. I went on and complained some more, you know? And I'm getting convicted. It's like, I'm pouring my heart out to God. I'm grieving. I'm being honest. I'm being real before God, you know. And I was like, are you done yet? Now I got a little bit more to go. And as I went on, I began to realize I'm just complaining and I'm just rehearsing all the mistakes, all the failure, all the hurt, all the wound, all over it. And so I went about, I think, 5 more minutes. And and I said, okay, God, I think I'm done now. I'm checking my mind because I'm trying to avoid God now because I know He's got something to say to me, and I'm probably not going to like it because it means I've got to change. I have got to change. And I know that instinctively because whenever God says something like that to you, are you done yet? He's going to say something to you that means you can't just keep going on the way you're going on. So I said, okay, God, I'm done now. He said, now start praising me. I said, God, have you been listening? Do you understand everything I've just poured out? He says, you need to thank me. Thank you, God, for what? He says, you need to thank me that I'm with you. You need to begin to praise me because He says, if you don't praise me, you will never get out of that spot. Boy, I started praising God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, God, thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been in that spot? Being real. So, oh, Lord, I thank you, God, that you never leave us. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, you're so good to us. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you uphold me and you don't let my feet stumble. Yeah, thank you, Lord. You know, you don't feel like it. I'm telling you, you don't feel like it. I spent 45 minutes digging a hole, and God says, it's time to get out of it. Lord, do you know how much effort I put in this hole? This is a good hole. I've got a couch over here. I've got padded pews over here. I got my chips and my drink over here. This is a good hole, God. Have you ever dug yourself a hole? And you know you've got to get out of it, but you're not really sure how to get out of it or where to go. Well, I started praising God and I started forcing it. And you know, in about 10 minutes, I'm running through here and I'm shouting, thank you, God, you've given me the victory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so often we never pursue, we never do the things that we know we ought to do because it just seems so silly. What would have happened if somebody would have walked through that door and caught me praising God? They would have known we've just gone through a split. We've just gone through a hard time. They know what's going on. They know the rumors. They know all this stuff. What is wrong with this nut that he's going around praising God? And we think that way sometimes. You just had a terrible loss in your life. Something drastically went wrong, and I'm supposed to praise God in this when everybody knows what's going on? No. But if they walked through the door and saw me whining and crying and begging, oh, brother, I understand the pain that you're in. No, they don't. Not till it happened to them. They don't understand the pain I'm in. They can sympathize with me. They can understand the hurt and the loss and the discontent. But that would be acceptable, wouldn't it? That would make me fit in and I'd be like everybody else. And we all love the self-help groups. We all love to be counseled. And we'll do it for year after year after. I mean, if you're a Hollywood celeb, I mean, there's two things that give you a priority status if you're a Hollywood celebrity. I'm in rehab or I'm in counseling. I mean, you know, it's just like, oh, well, great. Everything's wonderful then. How long have you been in rehab? Well, this is my fourth trip back now. Is it helping? And they know it's not. How long have you been in counseling for? Well, I've been counseling for 15 years now. Okay. What's not working? Well, see, I keep changing a counselor every time one of them gets close. Oh. You know, that's why most pastors only stay in a church 3.5 years. Because in 3.5 years, you start getting to know the people. That's when your ministry can begin to happen is 3.5 years. So in 3.5 years, they want to move you out because you know too much stuff. That's a gospel truth. They know too much. We got to get rid of them, get a new one in so I can play Christian a little bit longer. So I can play church a little bit longer and nobody will ever catch on. Anyway, we won't go there. Hannah's up there praying. She thinks she's being spiritual. She thinks she's pouring her heart out to God. She thinks that she's being real here with the Lord. And all she's doing is feeling sorry for herself. And then breakthrough came. Now, like I say, she's been wailing. She's been crying. But, you know, the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain help and mercy in the time of your need. It doesn't say come crying, come wailing, come begging. It says come boldly to the throne of grace. God knows we have needs. He knows we go through hard times. But he says, don't just whine about it. You come to me and you ask. And here she is just crying. And Eli looks at her. Because see, the Lord wants to hear your faith. He wants to hear your faith. What are you believing in the hard times? He wants to hear what you're believing for instead of what you're crying about. And Eli asked her, are you drunk? She thinks she's being spiritual, but she's spoken out of her complaint and grief, and she calls this prayer, but the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. The problem is we've learned how to live in our sorrow, and we need to learn how to speak faith. We have learned to live depressed, which has nothing to do with living in God. It has all to do with the enemy. Now listen to this. He's taken you captive and you think it's spiritual. When you're living in depression, the enemy has taken you captive and you think it's spiritual. And that's why it's so hard to get out of it. Because everybody pats you on the back and everybody says, I understand about it. And sometimes they need to say, I understand you hurt. I understand the loss. I understand the pain. But God will bring you into victory. And you need to start looking at coming out of it instead of how long you can stay in it. Because it can become a way of life that you'll never get out of if you're not careful. Now, Eli says, let's go down to 1 Samuel 1, 17. Now, she's just said, don't consider me a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. She's saying, I haven't spoken a thing in faith, haven't spoken a thing in belief. All I have done is complain and grieve before God. And Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. Now, he thinks she's drunk. She says, don't accuse me of being a wicked woman. And religiously, I've always heard Eli, go in peace, and the God of Israel will meet your need. Now think about it like this. What if he would have said, lady, get out of here. And God will help you out. But get out. Because I don't want this kind of stuff in the temple of God. This is a place of faith. This is a place of prayer, not whining and complaining. What if Eli would have meant it that way? Changes the picture a little bit, doesn't it? You just get out of my house. You go your way, woman. You go on. But we're not having this. And just to pacify her, say, and God grant your petition that you've asked of him. She hadn't asked of a petition. She's grieving and complaining. She's sorrowing. She hasn't asked God for anything yet. She's just grieving. She said this. And listen to her response in verse 18. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. However Eli said it, she heard it as, God's answered my prayer. Go your way. Get out of my sight. Sometimes God has to just say to us, are you done yet? You know, are you finished? Are you through? Do you still have a little bit more to do? But then he'll say, get on your way. Get on the right path. Start living the way that you know you ought to, and get out of this situation. Be thankful unto him who leads us into victory, into triumph. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, when she believed, she stopped crying. When she believed, she walked, I got an answer. The priest told me to go. Yeah, go. It's like, however many minutes, woman, get out of my sight. Priest said to go. He said to God of Israel. I mean, have you ever just said, yeah, God bless you. Get out of my sight, God bless you. And you go, oh, a word of the Lord. You know, they're just trying to pacify you. Lady, get out of my sight. It's a word of the Lord. He said, go. And all of a sudden, she washes her face. All of a sudden, she quits crying. Something happened. She got a breakthrough in it because she began to believe, I have an answer. And when she believed she had an answer, she stopped her crying. She stopped her complaining. She stopped her whining before God. And it came to pass. Shortly after that, she goes home to her husband, a happy woman, happy husband. They get together. Boom, she's got a baby. Now, how long has this child been delayed because of her grieving? How long has the answer been right there before her if she would have begun to give thanks to God? Because the moment she began to give thanks unto God for the victory, she got the thing that she wanted. But she didn't get it before then. You know, in Matthew 8:13, the centurion came to Jesus, and Jesus said to him, go your way, as you have believed, so let it be done to you. Well, how do you think the centurion left? Well, I hope it works out. No, the centurion left. Praise God. He's heard, oh, I have the answer. I have the answer. I have the answer. And he was met the very same hour saying, your servant is okay now. And the centurion began to look at his sundial, I guess, and he began to figure out that his servant was healed the very time that Jesus said, go your way, for you have the things that you've asked for. Be it to you according to your faith. And it happened. But the man began to rejoice on it. When the word Lord gives you a word, do you rejoice or do you still question? Do you still wonder? As long as you question it, you're not giving thanks, are you? As long as you're doubting it, you're not giving thanks. Go to Mark 1:40 real quick. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. He says, a leper came to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus was moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him, Jesus warned him, the leper, and sent him away at once. And Jesus said to him, See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. However, see, he didn't listen to Jesus, did he? However, he went out, the leper went out, and began to proclaim it freely, to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Now Jesus wanted to meet in the city, and he tells the leper, now don't tell anybody, you just go to the priest and take care of it. You know? But the guy didn't do that. He started going out, I'm healed. Look, the leprosy's gone. Look at this. He went out with joy. He was giving thanks to God because he had received the answer to his need. Amen. At one time, they were out in the fields and they had 5,000 people and everybody's wondering, what are we going to do to eat? And Jesus says, well, is there anybody around? They said, well, bring this little boy. And he had 2 fishes and 5 loaves. You know what Jesus did? He lifted it up and said, Father, I give you thanks. Now, nobody had been fed yet. But Jesus said, Father, I give you thanks. And when he brought the basket down, he said, here, take it and pass. And they passed, and they picked up like 12 bushels of baskets of fish and bread when it was all over with. Jesus knew the power of giving thanks to God. Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus is dead. Everybody's crying around him. Everybody's giving up hope. And Jesus knew what was going to happen. And he stands out in front of Lazarus' tomb and says, Father, I give you thanks that you hear my prayer. And then he spoke. He said, I don't speak for your sake, Father. I speak for those that are around so that they understand something. But Lord, I thank you that you've heard my prayer. Lazarus, come forth. And he walked out of the grave. Think about that. The power of giving thanks. It is the connection between you and victory. It is the connection between you and success, is the ability to give thanks before things occur in the natural. When you do that, you begin to tap into the force of faith, and God can come in and change what needs to be changed because you're willing to give thanks before you see anything around. So we've taken Thanksgiving as just being a polite thing. It's battle. When you go in and start giving thanks to God, when you're in a pit and you start giving thanks to God, you are battling. You are tearing down strongholds of the enemy. You are tearing down ideas and opinions and concepts that have been built up against you to keep you from being able to receive what God has given to you. But when you understand that God has given me the victory, and what is between me and the victory is my ability to give thanks, when I go into prayer and I say, God, thank you that I'm born again. Thank you, God, that you live me. Thank you, God, that you hear my prayer. Thank you, God, that you give me the victory. Thank you, Lord. I'm doing battle, and I'm overcoming every obstacle that has come up against me, and I'm tearing them down because I'm willing to give God thanksgiving before I see anything change. Amen. Let's stand up. Is there something you don't have that you've been crying for? You know, something changed in Hannah and she was no longer sad. We're going to take a moment and just thank God for everything that he has provided for us and has for us, and to enlarge our capacity to receive from God. Are you willing to do that? To just give him thanksgiving? To just give him praise this morning, to thank him for all the things that he's given. Father, we come before you this morning, God, and we give you thanks. We give you thanksgiving, God, for all your blessing. God, we thank you that you always lead us into triumph. God, that you always give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for provision right now. We thank you, God, that you have given us the ability to come before your throne boldly, God, full of power, honestly, openly, and to declare, God, that this is our need. This is our cry, God. Lord, we ask you now in the name of Jesus to meet that need, to lift us out of depression and oppression, to lift us out of confusion, Father, to bring us into that broad open place of your Holy Spirit, to bring us, Lord, to that table that you've prepared before us, God, that has the bread and the oil and the wine, the needs that we have, God. We thank you, Father, that in the enemy of the in the presence of our enemy, that we're not going to give notice to him, but Lord, we're going to give notice to your word. We're going to give notice, God, to your table, your feast that you have before us. And Father, we say thank you. We say thank you, Lord, to pour out all this stuff. We say thank you, Lord, that you are with us. And if you are for us, who can be against us? We thank you, God, that you've given us the victory, God. You've given us the ability to overcome, God. We thank you, God, that you are with us, God, that you never leave us. You never forsake us, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us all the provision in heaven and earth for every need, for every situation, Father. God, we give you praise. We give you honor, Father. This is our life. This is our life in you, God, in Christ, Father. All the blessing, all the glory, all the honor, Father, that belongs to you, God, you've given to us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the victory to overcome, to be the head and not the tail, to be above and not beneath. You've done this, Father, through Jesus Christ. Death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? It is nowhere, because thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you, Father. Amen and amen in Jesus' name. God bless you.